For our Bible study, turn to Psalm 43. I'm going to read Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. There's no title. If you look at your Bible, I see no title in front of this psalm. As you know, there are titles in front of many of the psalms. I'm paging through right now, and seems like every psalm I'm looking at almost has a title. But for Psalm 43, we see no title. But presumably, it was written by the same author who wrote Psalm 42. For we see really a close relationship between the two psalms. As one theologian writes, the song begins in Psalm 42 is completed in Psalm 43. In fact, in some Hebrew manuscripts, Psalm 42 and 43 are one psalm. For example, the refrain of Psalm 42, verse 5, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. And then we see that verse at the end of Psalm 42. And then we see that same verse at the end of Psalm 43. So between Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, we have this statement made three times. But we could also say Psalm 43 is an independent song of praise. And in it, the psalmist asks four heart-rending questions. Then he states the longing of his heart. And then he concludes with three statements of affirmation that certainly speak of the desire of his heart. Our first point is the psalmist's questions. And the psalmist asks four questions. And we see the first two questions in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And then the last two questions we see in verse 2. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now, like all of us, the psalmist experienced a broken heart. He knew of life's sorrows and disappointments, a crippled family, a giant enemy at the door, an insubordinate army general, and so many unfulfilled desires, so many dashed hopes and dreams. And what a picture of our lives in this sin-broken world. Things might be going along fine, but then without warning, we get that unexpected email. A friend says, hey, I just want you to know what's going on. We get a call from a family member. I can remember over a year ago, and I didn't receive the call, but Kay did. And just a call that just shook us to the to the very being of who we are and how cast down, how disquieted we can quickly become. Especially we can be cast down and disquieted when we believe what is happening to us seems really unfair, undeserved. Lord, what did I do to bring this to pass? I think of this whole COVID pandemic and just how it has affected us. It's not been a good thing in many respects. And then we question God by saying, well, why have you forgotten me? Why have you cast me off? Why, Lord, am I called to endure so much for so long a time? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why so many enemies? And how distressed and grieved and crushed our hearts can become. Our hearts are truly broken. In fact, our whole world is being rocked and shaken. And so in our distress, we ask God again these same questions the psalmist asked. We plead, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Again, we all have our enemies. Well, we come now to our second point, and that is the psalmist's longings. In the midst of the heartbreaking trials and tribulations, what does the psalmist tell his heart to do? And then what does he crave and request from God? Well, he first tells his heart, and which we see in verse 5, to hope in God. Wait on God. Trust in God. Lean on God. Lean not unto your own understanding. For God does not fail his children. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. The Lord, Hebrews 13:6, is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Micah 7:8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. And after all, don't we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose? Friends, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, good, merciful, gracious, holy, and loving God is our God. And that God is for us. Hope in God. He is before us, which means no one can stand against us. And we really can hope in him. Let me give you one tangible reason you can hope in God. And verse 2 gives us that reason, which is God is our strength. Let me put it this way. Because God is our strength, God is our hope. Thou art the God of my strength. What do you need when you face the trials, the difficulties, the situations of life that we don't understand? We need hope and we need strength to get through those trials. Friends, if you don't have hope, it doesn't take long for you to, maybe you won't physically pass away at that moment, but you're dying on the inside. Do you know what I mean? When you die, when you feel like you're dying on the inside. But God is our strength as well. And therefore, we can leave combating of our foes entirely to God. The battle is what? The Lord's. Isn't that what David said to Goliath? The battle is the Lord's. And he will deliver you into my hands. I love this verse, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. When you have questions for God, when you are asking him why, have you asked God why lately? I have. Why? Let me ask, are you counseling your heart with these truths that God is your hope and God is your strength? God is your hope. God is your strength. Well, then the psalmist makes several requests. I want you to see where his focus is. I want you to understand the longings of his heart as he brings his trials to God, his hope, his strength. Notice verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Now, God's light is his presence. For remember, God dwells in light. Psalm 4:6 speaks of the light of God's countenance and presence. And God's truth is his faithfulness. It is the trustworthiness of his heart. And so the psalmist longs for God's presence, and he longs and his steadfastness to do what? To lead him, to guide him over life's mountains and through life's valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. And he's saying, Lord, lead me, your presence. Might I sense your presence? Might I sense your steadfastness? Lead me to your holy hill. Lead me to your tabernacles. The word tabernacles really means habitations. And it comes from the word that refers to the plurality of majesty. And isn't there the plurality of majesty in the triune God? The heavens and the earth declare God's glory. So the psalmist, in his longings, is begging God in his mercy to first bring him to the earthly courts. What did David say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. David desired the house of the Lord. Why? Because that was the place, the earthly place where God what? In essence, what he was saying, in my weary exile, and then in due time, admit me to thy heavenly palace above, where dwells God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the plurality of majesty. And isn't it true that our longing to be rescued from the oppression of man does lead us to sigh more intensely for the communion with God above? Amen? And so, yes, our souls do get down. They get cast down. Satan's fiery darts do come against us daily. But we have hope because we have a strong and faithful God. And he is a God who rightly judges us. Notice what he says in verse 1. After he longs for God to send out his light and truth, lead me. Bring me unto thy holy hill, to your presence, to thy tabernacles. It says in verse 1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Now men misjudge us. Isn't that true? Men misjudge us. They do that all the time. They don't see our heart. You know, maybe we say something off the cuff or whatever and they take it wrong. Or maybe they misjudge what we're really trying to do. So men misjudge us. Men deceive us. Men treat us in an ungodly, unjust way. Remember, ungodly men will be unjust men. That's why it is important to put godly men in public office. If you want to be treated justly, it won't come from the unjust. But God sees our heart, and thereafter he pleads our cause. The psalmist says, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. He pleads God to bring deliverance. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. But God is our divine judge, and he is our defense attorney, which means the bench is stacked in our favor. Amen? And thus the arrows of deceitful and unjust and ungodly men fall harmlessly off God's shield and buckler. And even if they do kill the body, they can never kill the soul. And so the longings of the psalmist, as he hoped in God, as he found his strength in God, would be satisfied. Oh, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Verse 1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Which brings us now to point number 3, the psalmist's affirmations. Verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Wow. He asks questions, legitimate questions. And he expresses the longings of his heart to God, his hope, his, and his strength. And then he concludes with, then will I go unto the altar of God, my exceeding joy. I think it's interesting that he didn't just say my joy, he said my exceeding joy. You know, when you're talking about God, you're talking about superlative joy. And notice it wasn't the altar as such that brought David's soul joy, meaning it was not the ritualism of the rites of the altar, it was not religion. Rather, it was the God of the altar that was the psalmist's true joy. We see that joy in Psalm 16:11. And thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Remember, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. I want you to turn to Psalm 30. Let me read verses 1 through 5 for you. Psalm 30. This psalm we see is written by David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast made my foes to rejoice over me. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy cometh in the morning. God was the psalmist's exceeding joy. And then the psalmist's declaration to this exceeding joy, Yea, upon the harp, verse 4, will I praise thee, O God, my God. In other words, like the psalmist, we respond to the joy God does ultimately give with joy-filled praise and thanksgiving. We experience his exceeding joy, we rejoice. If we are musically inclined, we can praise him with the trumpet. We can praise him with the psaltery. We can praise him with the harp. We can praise him with the timbrel. We can praise him with stringed instruments. We can praise him with organs. If you're not musically inclined, you still have breath, right? If you're still alive, you're still breathing. Everything that hath breath, what is that person to do? Or those people to do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. And what do we say as we praise the Lord? Oh God, you are my God. Oh Lord, oh God, you are my God. Don't you think it puts praise, rejoicing in your heart when you can say, God, the God of the universe, you are my God? Amen. And then the psalmist adds one final affirmation, which we see in verse 5, for I shall yet praise him. I will praise him again and again, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Which all tells us that God works not only on the soul, but on the face of the soul. Meaning what he did for the psalmist, he will do for us. He clears the frowns from our faces and he removes the tear marks from our cheeks. Isn't it true that when you're truly praising the Lord, it's evident? It's seen. The joy of the Lord not only is in your heart, but it is being expressed upon your face. The countenance, the health of my countenance. And therefore we can lift up our heads and smile in the face of life's storms, knowing that God is our hope and strength, knowing that his presence is with us, knowing that he pleads our cause, knowing that he delivers us and brings us to his dwelling. We can respond by praising the Lord, by praising our God. I think we need to ask ourselves, and I'm asking myself throughout the day, are you trusting that God is your hope, that God is your strength? We all have challenges. Every day we have challenges. Every day we get news that we don't necessarily want to hear. But when we can remind ourselves, when we feel cast down, when we feel disquieted, when we feel oppressed by the enemy, when it seems like our cause is not being justly handled by those around us, we can hope still in God, who is our strength. And ladies and gentlemen, that changes everything about how you look at your day and how you look, not only how your heart feels, but how your face expresses your heart. And isn't it true your face really does express your heart? Really does. So what a testimony of God's grace when people can see there's joy. The joy of the Lord is being expressed on your face. Well, let us, in the midst of our struggles, let's come to God with our questions. There's nothing wrong with asking God questions. I mean, he's the best one to ask questions, isn't he? I mean, we all have questions. We all have whys. I know I do. I've asked, why, Lord, this COVID stuff? Why, Lord, does our country seem so divided? Why does it seem like Christians don't always see things clearly. You know, and I have these questions. Why? Have we been so mistaught through the years that we don't understand? Let us make sure, and I'm speaking to myself, let me make sure I direct my whys to God. And when I do so, I do with the longings of my heart, the deepest longings of my heart, and that is for a heart that genuinely hopes and trusts in God no matter what happens. My hope is in the Lord. And where is that hope? Where is that strength found? It's found in God's presence. Knowing God is with us makes a total difference. And then we affirm, God, you are my exceeding joy, and I praise you. You are the health of my countenance and my God. Friends, God will use these longings and affirmations to quiet our disquieted soul, to lift up our soul that is cast down, and we then respond, I will yet praise you. And God's people said, Amen.